book gang. This is Amy Allen Clark from momadvice.com. I just want to warmly welcome you to my cozy reading corner of the internet. Be sure to join the Mom Advice Book Club on Facebook to connect more with our readers, listeners, and me. I'd like to begin by thanking our Patreon community for their generous support to help keep this podcast ad-free. Running a podcast is not an inexpensive endeavor. For just $5 a month, you get to join me after every episode to expand the stack together. This is where we get a bit more personal about those big bookish feelings, dissect what I learned each week, and give you suggestions for books based on our topics. To top it off, our members receive a monthly bookish digital download, a themed Spotify playlist, and a printable newsletter with the latest book news and reviews. I promise to give you way more than a $5 experience for your support. Today's episode is a peek behind the scenes at how I select our book club books each year. Whether you're running a book club of your own and looking for suggestions, or if you join in monthly to read with me, I want to share with you what I've learned over the years about book club selection and building meaningful conversations around books. Can I first say how thankful I am for having a blog, because I used this to figure out when this book club even started. If you can believe it, my first book club selection was made in 2013, although our Facebook community was only more recently added. It is so interesting to look at my original goal and intention of sharing books with you. In a very meta moment, I just want to quote myself and say what I had hoped to do for my readers way back then. This is what I had shared. I am staying off the path of those best-selling books you've already heard of and have probably already read. Instead, I hope to highlight those hidden gems of books and embrace debut novelists. The purpose in this is really twofold. First, by selecting a novel that a first-time novelist is trying to promote or finding books you may not have heard of, I'm hoping that many of these authors will be more willing to collaborate with us by providing books and participating in a book club discussion with our readers. The second reason is I truly love finding these types of books to share with you and, as an author myself, appreciate promoting someone who is just beginning their career. Guys, I knew exactly what I was doing. And the mission of our book club has not evolved too far from the original mission statement. The only aspect that has truly changed has been how I connect with my community. And a recent decision, due to pandemic stress, honestly, to allow readers to help with our book club selection. As a business-minded person, goal setting and mission statements are a crucial part of execution, and my goal of this podcast almost perfectly mimics the original book club mission I wrote 8 years ago. This podcast focuses on debuts, under-the-radar book choices, and helping you expand your stack with backlist selections. I have not strayed too far from these original intentions. I would love to reflect with you on three of my first selections, and then we can dive deeper into the book club trenches where I can share more about what I believe makes a great book club book. The first book I ever selected was a historical fiction novel called The Paris Architect by Charles Balfour. Now, this novel was set in 1942 in Paris and tells the story of a gifted architect named Lucien Bernard. In a time of actual economic strife and rations in the city, Lucien is commissioned to design secret hiding places in homes to hide wealthy Jews to prevent them from being taken by the Nazis. And although Lucien is in no way supportive of assisting the Jews, he is very hungry for money. Furthermore, if he can design these spaces, it will lead to other jobs that can help him continue leading a relatively comfortable life. The problem is, by assisting the Jewish people, his own life is at risk. The other problem is, what if he actually starts to care? Now, I selected Charles' book because of the transformation of this character. It moved me, and I was so impressed how this author used his background in architecture to weave creative plot elements into the story. In addition, he admitted that the inspiration for this debut was linked to a place that I, as a reader, would not have realized he had gathered inspiration from. The whole idea for the book came from an actual historical event during the reign of Elizabeth I, when Catholicism was outlawed and saying of Mass was banned. Priests defied the ban by saying Mass in manor houses out in the countryside. When the Queen's soldiers raided the home, The priest hid in a priest hole. It was a temporary hiding place designed by a carpenter. The soldiers would search the house for hours and hours and never find the priest hiding right under their noses. I can confidently state that this particular time in history is still one that I go to repeatedly for our book club picks. In fact, last month, we read the Book of Lost Names and revisited this time in history, but learned what it would take to forge essential documents to bring children to safety from Nazis. Since this time, Charles has written three more historical fiction books and is a New York Times bestselling author who has received numerous awards for his writing. Booklist called him an up-and-coming Ken Follett, and it is so deserved. It brings me so much joy to know that maybe a few of those early book sales might have been guided by our introduction to his work. That, to me, is that original mission statement in action. The title, again, is The Paris Architect by Charles Balfour. It's one that has successfully launched our club for years of reading together, and I would definitely suggest it for any book club you might be leading. The second book I had selected for our original book club year was A Constellation of Vital Phenomena by Anthony Mara. In this novel, set in Chechnya, two doctors risk everything to save the life of a hunted child named Hava. Now, Hava's just 8 years old when her neighbor Ahmed finds her hiding in the woods, watching her house burning down. Of course, Ahmed knows getting involved means risking his life. Still, her father is an old friend, and he risks it all, deciding to take her to an abandoned hospital where a woman named Sonia Rabina runs almost single-handedly. Now, Sonia does not love kids at all. However, Ahmed convinces her to keep Hava for a trial, and for five memorable days, Sonia's world will change in ways she never imagined. The reader is taken on a journey through each character's past, exploring themes of love, loss, and ultimately what it means to be human. Everything about this book seemed to have significance and meaning. Mara has described how he settled upon A Constellation of Vital Phenomena as his title in previous interviews. In an interview, he states, "One day I looked up the definition of life in a medical dictionary and found a surprisingly poetic entry. A constellation of vital phenomena, organization, irritability, movement, growth, reproduction, adaptation. As a biological life is structured as a constellation of six phenomena, the narrative life of this novel is structured as a constellation of six point of view characters." The reader quickly realizes that every word is precious, and every sequence of events will later have meaning and be woven together. Mara frequently writes of what we can expect to come from these characters, and even clues us in on their longevity through an omniscient voice that helps us sometimes know whether we should get too attached or worried about the outcome of these following scenes. This debut novel went on to be a New York Times bestseller, which was no surprise to this reader. What I appreciated about this interview I did with him was that he clued us more into the writing process of this book. He shared with me, "I knew from the beginning that if I was going to write about the conflict in Chechnya, it could not be a novel with a traditional beginning, middle, and end. Violence has broken these characters' sense of time and narrative. Yet, they're all trying to piece their lives together to recover what's been lost. And while they often don't succeed by attempting to rescue their past, they instead create new and unexpectedly meaningful present. I wanted the novel to embody, at a structural level, the central act of its characters, mending their individual stories into a communal whole. A novel contains not only a writer's thoughts, to paraphrase Marilynne Robinson, but also a pretty good blueprint for how a writer thinks. As a writer, I tend to find myself tuning into the echoes trapped between narratives and using these echoes as the connective tissue to build the kind of mega story made up of many small stories that feels a lot like life as I experience it." Ugh. Now, even quoting this writer has me reading his phrases out loud. Echoes trapped between narratives, or echoes as connective tissue, yield vivid imagery, and it reminds me why I found myself rereading passages over and over again and wanting to read them out loud to someone else. The tight narrative structure and the imagery from his words are precisely why it made it on my list of first books to share. I honestly can't say enough good things about A Constellation of Vital Phenomena by Anthony Mara and how great it would be for a book club chat. The last book I'd love to share is a contemporary fiction pick that will hit all the right notes for Diane Chamberlain fans. The novel is called The Orphans of Race Point by Patry Francis. This book was absolutely stunning from start to finish and filled with poetic writing laced with great moral messages about love, forgiveness, and redemption. Set in the close-knit Portuguese community of Provincetown, Massachusetts, The Orphans of Race Point traces the relationship between two characters, Haley Costa and Gus Silva. They meet as children in the wake of a terrible crime that leaves Gus parentless. On the night of their high school prom, a terrible tragedy devastates their relationship and profoundly alters the course of their lives. And when, a decade later, Gus, now a priest, becomes entangled with a distraught woman named Ava and her daughter Mila, troubled souls who bring back vivid memories of his own damaged past, the unthinkable happens. He's charged with murder. Now, can Haley save the man she's never stopped loving by not only freeing him from prison, but also finally the curse of his past? What I remember stuck out to me the most about this author wasn't just the plot, but it was the incredible backstory that was just as inspiring as her debut. During her first book, she was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer, dampening what could have been a time of great celebration in her life. Instead, her community of writers and bloggers came together, 300 of them, to encourage book sales since she had surgery and recovered during her book launch. Patry shared, "When I first received my diagnosis, I planned to keep it private, but the connection I felt with my online community was so real and vital that eventually I decided to share my experience and how I was dealing with it on my blog in a post I called 2 Ounces of Bliss. I knew my online community would be supportive. They always were. But I never could have predicted the incredible outpouring of kindness and generosity I received. Organized by her friends, it swelled to include novelists like Neil Gaiman, who had never met her, but who took to the internet to promote the fellow writer because she could not do it for herself. She says, though I was pretty sick at the time, it was one of the most extraordinary days of my life, and it still lifts me up whenever I think about it. Sometimes I choose books for our book club because the writer's stories are so compelling, or I find something in the acknowledgments or author's notes that make me want to examine their life story or work more. This was the case with The Orphans of Race Point by Patry Francis. I can happily say that these 3 picks have stood the test of time and are still ones that I would recommend today. They were hidden gems that may have gained some notoriety now, but I am still hoping that they can find a new reader after today's episode. The big themes that went into these 3 picks were debut authors with compelling backstories, narratives that begged to be read aloud and shared with others, and books with settings or times in history that give a book club legs. Those themes are still the same in 2021, and the legs of these book club chats can sometimes be more compelling than the chats themselves. Many times people have shared that they've disliked a book, but were thankful they still showed up for our chat because the supportive articles I found about the book themes or our discussion ended up being worth the book slog. Honestly, my biggest issue with picking our book club books has been the pressure that I put on myself. And even after all these years of picking, I have not learned my lesson. Now, as a result, I read dozens of books that I hope will be the one that end up not working out. My husband has even told me that I pigeonholed myself too much with my mission statement. It is so hard for the book tastemaker, and it is even harder to pick books you believe will be universally liked by a group. Here is the thing, though. There will never be a book that every single person will like. It is why there's such variety in the book club selections we pick. This variety can come from having each member pick a book in your book club, or the combination can come from selecting books from different genres. I found great success in finding different genres within our club. It's why you'll typically see memoir, contemporary fiction, historical fiction, nonfiction, a YA book, and science fiction within one book club year. This adds a natural rhythm to picking books and expands readers into categories that they might not pick up on their own. The second key ingredient I found is finding books that challenge viewpoints or expand our perspective on different cultures. In the Expand the Stack for our Patreon group, I'll be sharing the books that I was surprised challenged our readers the most, but here I will say that the best discussions are the ones that challenge us. Let it be said that it does not require a nonfiction book to do that. Even a thriller like When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole had so much meat to the backstory that it brought a lively conversation about gentrification in historic communities. I think it's essential to know we can talk about these big themes, scary themes sometimes, such as, you know, what's happening with immigration and refugees, and invite conversations that allow for our own personal expansion in a way we might not find challenging in our own social media world. The last thing I've learned this year in particular is that allowing a few better known books into the stack can motivate reluctant readers who aren't willing to take a chance on a lesser known title. Picking the books for this book club is a difficult task, and piling this on during the pandemic seemed impossible to pull off. Now, Goodreads offers their community Reader's Choice Awards annually, where people get to vote on their favorite books, and I was inspired to do that for our own community to select our books this year. I offered an online poll and had our book club members vote for selections that they wanted to discuss. This is how we ended up with many of the books that I personally would not have selected because they were just too well known. The Midnight Library, for example, is not one that I would have picked, but it ended up hitting all the right notes for many of our readers. In fact, a few of these picks will even be on my top 10 list this year and would have been unlikely candidates in my own personal stack. And that, my reading friends, is what it's all about. Thank you so much for entrusting me with helping you select your next round of books. If you would like to continue this discussion with me, be sure to join me for Expand the Stack today. This bonus episode will share the books that yielded our best conversation, and I'll also be sharing an intriguing article about the pandemic flux that helped me realize just why the podcast life chose me this year. Be sure to check the show notes for all the titles mentioned in today's episode. Please tell me, which book from today's list piqued your interest this week? Happy reading, friends!